Former soldiers are holding a series of protests throughout the UK on Good Friday. They're campaigning for what they're calling justice for Northern Ireland veterans. The group claim that there's a one-sided witch hunt against members of the security forces services who served in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. Alan Barry is one of the former soldiers from the group. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the commentator Jude Collins with us today. Jude, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So set this out for us, Alan.
Well, basically, over the period of the last 2 years, we've seen a number of different cases coming forward. And these cases, our argument is with the British government and with the politicians who effectively seem to be placing themselves in the position of appeasement at all costs. Where
so what do you want? Let's broaden this. What do you want?
Well, we want equivalency. It's quite simple. I mean, as far as we're concerned, you know, it's quite simple from our perspective. And I'm sure, you know, other people would think very differently. But the way we look at it is that there cannot be equivalency between those who commit murder as part of a political program and those who open fire and in self-defense who are operating under the direction of the government and the rule of law.
Jude?
Well, as far as I can establish, I don't think that any former British soldiers are being charged for firing in self-defence. I think the yellow card protected them in that, but they could use lethal fire if their own lives were under risk or if the lives of other people, innocent people, were under risk. I think the question is really, have these soldiers acted illegally? Have they killed people?
Right, and what we're not doing here is talking about anybody who have been mentioned. So this is a broad discussion here.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a question of have these people been guilty or have they not? Alan has mentioned the question of proportionality. I, in a way, I sort of agree with that. If, in fact, you could say an unequal number of British ex-soldiers were being charged compared to loyalist paramilitaries or Republican paramilitaries, you might want to argue that that's not fair. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that from 1970 to 73, the RUC didn't investigate killings by the British Army. Those killings were investigated by military police, and the testimony of people who were there at the time, that military police interrogation of the soldiers amounted to tea and sandwiches.
Well, the DUP's Geoffrey Donaldson is saying that there should be a statute of limitations on Troubles investigations. Let's have a listen.
People who've served the state, who have been in the armed forces, I think are entitled to a level of legal protection. What we're talking about is not an amnesty, but a statute of limitations, which would mean you set a time period after which it's no longer possible to pursue those cases.
There's never been a statute of limitations for murder.
If there is evidence that someone has committed a murder, then of course that person is liable to prosecution. What we're talking about here are historic investigations, and the statute of limitations would relate to reopening investigations.
And Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly says there's basically been immunity for soldiers for the last 40 years.
The question is everyone equal under the law? They're arguing for a statute of limitations for state forces. So clearly they don't believe in equality under the law. So they can't have it. On the one hand, they're saying we want everyone equal under the law, and then on the other hand, saying, well, except if they're state forces, then they should be more equal than others. And it's practical immunity over the last 40 years, and now they're trying to legalise it. Each individual, whether they are state forces or not state forces, whether they were in the British Army or used to be in the IRA or whether in a loyalist organisation, a unionist paramilitary, wherever they happen to be, if you want to deal with it, then deal with it on an equal basis.
Fred and Dromore. Morning, Fred.
Hello, how you doing?
Go ahead, Fred.
We hear often this word of conflicts brought up so often, but conflicts were always fought under the terms of the Geneva Convention. That did not apply to the terrorist campaign we had here.
So what do you think should happen?
Well, it was a terrorist campaign. It wasn't a conflict as such.
And what's
There's
your
no
point?
There's no lines of drawn as far as the Geneva Convention was concerned. It was all right for one side to shoot in the back, but it wasn't all right for the other. What other country would the soldiers have to use a yellow card before they fired a shot? Sure, it doesn't make sense.
The yellow card says warnings have to be issued to allow suspects to surrender. Soldiers could only shoot according to the yellow card without warning. Quote, if there is no other way to protect themselves or those whom it is their duty to protect from the danger of being killed or seriously injured. The card was amended in 1980 to carry the words, firearms must only be used as a last resort. Alan Barry?
Yeah, but we always... Well,
hold on, Fred.
We always observe the rules of engagement. If we didn't, we would have been thoroughly investigated and charged. No soldier ever left barracks with the intention of committing murder. No soldier ever left barracks planning to commit murder. When we left barracks on foot patrol, and if we were fired upon, we returned fire. And when we returned fire, we had to adhere to the rules of engagement. When we returned fire, weapons were seized. The weapons were then examined. Statements were taken by both the SIB, who are the military police, effectively the equivalent of the CID, within the military police, and that the incident was also investigated by the RUC. So, you know, when we refer to the rules of engagement, I think Fred makes a very good point there. You know, we always felt it was like, to a certain extent, having one arm tied behind our back, because to us, if we were open fire on, we had to make sure that we made sure that we adhered to the rules of engagement. And effectively, that yellow card was the rules of engagement.
I think John Teggart wants to speak to you. John lost his father, Danny, in Ballymurphy in 1971, along with nine others. Morning to you, John.
Morning.
Go ahead, John.
Alan?
Hello there, John.
Alan, what you're saying is completely untrue. And just for the listeners,
I can't. I'm sorry. It's a bad line. Can you say that again?
Yeah, it's a really bad line, actually. John, we'll try to get it fixed. Hugh Collins?
Well, I think I disagree with Alan. He's saying that we always fired in self-defence. I mean, that simply is not the case. I mean, 14 people died in Bloody Sunday. 13 people or whatever number died in Ballymurphy. And those were clearly cases of innocent people being shot dead. The fact of the matter is, the Army, the British Army, that is, during the Troubles, only 20 soldiers appeared in court for the many killings in which the British Army were involved. Now, whether they were guilty is another matter, but only 20 of those got to court, and of the 20 that got to court, two-thirds of those were acquitted. And those who went to prison, in all cases, I think, served a short term in prison, and in many instances rejoined the Army, some of them being promoted.
That's not true.
This notion that the British
That's
Army...
propaganda, I'm afraid.
Always, can I just finish? The British Army went out and always observed the rules of the yellow card. The facts staring you in the face, they weren't observing it on Bloody Sunday or in Ballymurphy. As two examples, just. I'm not mentioning even the cases of collusion.
Yeah, sorry, I want to respect what you're saying, so I don't want to cut across you, but I would like to make a point if I can. If we look at the actual casualty rates of the conflict, I never like to refer to it as the Troubles because I served there, and I can tell you it was a war as far as I was concerned. So the security forces lost 1,049 people. The paramilitaries lost 368. There were 1,841 civilians killed. The total dead were 3,532. The total injured and maimed were 47,500. So what you're referring to here is less than 10% of those killings. And as a former British soldier, I firmly believe that when we fired in self-defence. And when that's what I firmly believe.
Let me let John Teggart try to speak to you again, Alan. I think we've got his line fixed. Go ahead, John. Morning.
Morning. Alan, as I was saying there, what you were saying completely untrue. When you talk about no intentions of leading a barrack to shoot, but my father, who shot 14 times from a distance of 50 yards on a bright summer night in August 1971, didn't need to leave the barrack. He was shot 14 times, and with high velocity bullets, every bullet passed to him. And just to finish off what they had started, walked across the road and they executed Noel Phillips. Mrs. Connolly was blamed with her first shot and she was shot continuous. When you said about the yellow card, and have been investigated by the RUC. That's the point. Up until this day, and there's proof of where at our inquest, there was no investigation at all. You were investigated by your colleagues and the SAB, and that's what happened. And then from then until now, it's the cover-up. Blacken families like ourselves, blacken our loved ones' names, and that's what you're doing.
Alan?
I'm not familiar with your father's particular death, and you know.
Okay, have that talk. I get.
Well, all I can say is that in relation to anything that I'm familiar with, that we observed the rules of engagement, and in terms of the rules of engagement, were if a soldier and anyone who suggests that the military police are friends of the army. They don't understand how the system works. Believe me, the military police's job is to get a conviction.
What about Woodrow?
That's their job.
What about
Woodrow?
What about Woodrow? Would you and your colleagues would in, and you would give a statement, and it says, we can't put that out, and it was redone again. And there's plenty of evidence that that's the way it happened, but you're not talking sense. You're talking as a cover-up. And that's what it is. It was a cover-up.
No.
The same thing that happened in Hillsborough with the police. They brought in their statements. You couldn't put that out. And it isn't. And these killings, these murders, aren't investigated by the RUC. So
was your father's killing, was it investigated at the time?
Never.
It was never investigated?
It was never, until this day.
You have evidence of that, do you?
Me and a lot of people have evidence out there. It didn't happen. Jude's already explained to you what happened there, and that's the truth. And are you
a lot of what I hear is, as far as I'm concerned, it seems like I asked if Sinn Féin would come on this program, and they wouldn't. So I'm very grateful that Jude came on, and thanks for that, Jude. But what we hear all the time are statements like, the statement that I just listened to from Jerry Kelly. But you see, what he's saying is we're looking for equivalency. We're not looking for equivalency because we genuinely believe that, you know, we acted in the rule of law, that we actually defended people against terrorism, and that when we return fire, we return fire against terrorists under the rule of law.
That's the point. You're talking about return and fire. It wasn't return fire. And it's the lies and the cover-ups were the innocent civilians, and it's proven. If returning fire with how many people in the Ballymurphy was shot in the back, the likes of Frank Quinn going to aid a priest, shot in the back of the head. A priest laying there to help a wounded man, shot in the back. Where is return fire?
Okay,
that's the point.
Here's Ian and Lauren. Morning, Ian.
Hello.
Go ahead, Ian.
Stephen, this yellow card. Terrorists, did they carry a Yarrick Yard with them when they went to policemen's houses at 2 o'clock in the morning and shot them in the face, shot farmers around the border, UDR soldiers in the back of the head from 300 yards in a ditch? What are they on about? And just when you're on, where was their prison camp? I mean, why did they not arrest these men and put them under the Geneva Convention like everybody else done? Their prison camp, Stephen, was in the graveyard. Which all the soldiers and police that they shot, where is this going to stop like? They're so done by it, it's unbelievable. Listen to this like.
Let's let Jude Collins respond, Ian.
Well, it seems to be self-evident that in many cases that we know about, and the two cases of incidents, the situation in Derry on Bloody Sunday and the Ballymurphy massacre.
That's not what he's asking. He's essentially saying, you know, the people who carried out murder on behalf of paramilitaries didn't adhere to any yellow card rule.
Well, I don't think the yellow card. Well,
that's what you're saying, Ian, right?
Yeah,
that's it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is, and this has been pointed out, I think, even by Alan, that the people who were in conflict with the British Army weren't members of an official organisation. They were, Alan would describe them, I'm sure, as terrorists. So the notion of asking them to
observe
a yellow card. What would you describe them as?
Well, I would say they were people who are caught up in the conflict, who under normal circumstances would have led ordinary lives. Otherwise, how do you explain the fact...
Ian and Lauren, do you accept that?
The majority of those soldiers were young lads, 17, 18, that joined the army and unfortunately were sent to Northern Ireland to protect the people and try and keep the peace. And they'll be getting fired at left, right and centre. Are you not supposed to return fire, like? Stand to your shot, which happened to a good few of them. You know what I mean? If you open fire on a man, that man should have the right to shoot you back. No matter what conflict or yellow cards or anything it is.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't happen in any other country in the world.
Mm. I don't think
an American policeman, he'll shoot you dead.
Mm. I don't think that anybody's disputing the fact that British soldiers were entitled to defend themselves if they were fired upon. I mean, that's, again, self-evident. I think the thing at dispute is, were British Army men involved in shootings which were illegal? That is to say, firing on people, not in self-defense, but for whatever reason, breaking their own rules, in fact, involved in illegal killings. Now, the fact of the matter is, some of these ex-British soldiers, these veterans, are being charged with things that occurred. I don't think the answer to that, if I were a British soldier, would be, well, look, you're telling me that I was involved in illegal killing. There's a street a few yards down there, and there's far more of them down there. Why don't you go down to them?
Okay.
I don't think that's the answer.
Can I answer
that question? Okay, we're going to have to leave it there.